Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, what a great way to start our morning. Around the table with two cups of coffee, our Bibles, and a buddy.
I'm excited about the topic because I believe the church, i.e. the people within the body of Christ, have lost the soteriological purpose of the existence of the local church. That is to go and evangelize the lost. There's a doxological purpose where we feed in the Word to His glory, yeah. But we have a soteriological responsibility to go to the lost world with the gospel.
You have a great way of saying this that I've heard you say. In fact, it's really become a heartbeat here at the training base where you've spent your life, and you've just summarized that whole thing called Great Commission Living.
Yes, and that is where every believer has the responsibility to go to the lost world with the gospel. Dr. Tom Farrell has done this for years. I don't know another man out there preaching in the field of evangelism who has a more clarion voice and has a God-given ability to draw the net. The word is given, and the Spirit of God does a deepening work. I've always been challenged, again last night, deeply challenged by the challenge of the Word.
And we ought to just let our readers know and kind of clue them into some of our conversation here. We're in the middle of our annual revival with our student body, and our speaker this year is Dr. Tom Farrell, and we've talked him into coming down to the broadcast studio with us and doing a few broadcasts in our series, Great Commission Living. And Tom, I'm so glad you agreed to do that for us.
Well, I certainly wasn't coerced. It's always a joy to get with you guys in fellowship and hopefully be a blessing to the folks on the listening end.
And you love the topic we're talking about.
Well, it resonates with me. I eat, drink, sleep, and believe in giving the good news of the gospel. What better message to give than what Jesus gave us to share?
And you've done it personally, and you've done it corporately. You've been stirring up the body of Christ. You've been personally sharing the gospel for how many years?
Well, I was saved as a five-year-old boy. I would love to tell you that even in elementary school, I was a good witness. Unfortunately, I got away from the Lord, and somebody may be listening today, and you got saved as a young man, and you're wandering. I thank the Lord that He was patient. He broke me and forgave me. One of the first people I ever led to Jesus Christ was at a camp. I never got over it. My dad later took me on a rescue mission. Dad knew that I was basically a coward, and had he told me I was going to preach that night, I wouldn't have gone with him. Walking through the door, I said, Dad, what are you going to preach on tonight? He said, I'm not preaching, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, then you'll just have to let him go to hell. Now, some of you are going to be a little bristling over that, but you'd have to know my dad. He went and sat and crossed his arms. They sang a song, and they looked at my dad, and my dad looked at me. And so I got up. I said everything I knew and some things I wasn't sure of in about 10 minutes. Closed by saying, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, if you'll come tonight, we'll help you. One man stood up. He was not inebriated. He was totally sober. He walked down that center aisle, and gentlemen, I never got over it. My dad took the Bible and led him to Jesus Christ, and I was bouncing all over the front seat when I went home.
How old were you then?
16, 17 years of age, somewhere in there. So I'm indebted to my father for dropping the gospel responsibility in my lap.
You know, when I was in youth ministry in Roseville, Michigan, we used to rent a roller rink. We had it all to ourselves every month. And I used to have the guys in our youth group preach because we would invite unsaved in. And I would have them, the next one, to preach. And one of the young men said, well, I don't think I can do that. I said, just tell people how to get saved.
Yeah.
There were probably about 150 teens there that night, and he spoke. And I decided, I'm going to give an invitation. And I kind of wanted to get back roller skating myself. But I said, how many of you understood what Tim said? And you need to accept Christ. Well, one hand was lifted. I went to him. I said, I saw you lift your hand. Did you understand what Tim was saying? Yes. And you want to accept Christ? Yes, I do. He accepted Christ. That was November. December, Faith Baptist in Warren had a winter retreat, and they invited this young man on their winter retreat. He was going up. They had tubing after the Friday night service. He was going up the hill. This 14-year-old boy dropped dead. And
Whoa.
The youth pastor called me, and he said, we had a boy die at our retreat, and he said the boy who died was the one who got saved 1 month earlier.
Unbelievable.
At the roller skate. And it was Tim, one of our teenagers, preached just a very, very slow gospel presentation.
You know, one of the people that Jesus used in the Bible was the woman at the well. She got a good drink of living water, ran into town, and her whole message was, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Isn't this the Christ? And the whole town followed her out. She'd never been in a soul-winning class, but she had tasted how good God was.
Yeah.
And with her terrible reputation, when she went into town, the town believed, and they came out and heard the good news. I think our friends on the listening end need to understand, you don't have to go to Bible college to be a witness. You don't have to have down every presentation. We talked about yesterday giving a testimony. Just simply saying, let me share with you as best I can what Jesus Christ has done for me. What a wonderful way to start.
So I'm listening to the broadcast. Man, I'm getting charged up hearing these stories, and I'm getting convicted. If I'm sitting on the other end, God's working in my heart. I'm just a layman. I'm like the person you just described. I didn't go to Bible college. I don't have flip charts. I'm scared out of my gourd to open up my mouth. And a guy like you comes into town and stirs us up. Now, I know you well enough, Tom, that I think I could ask this question. Is it ever hard for you to share the gospel? Is it ever something fearful for you? And how do you get over that? How can you help a guy like me, who's never shared it before, to get over that hump?
Well, I have been asked that question before. For a number of years, I worked, as you gentlemen know, at a place called the Wiles, and every year we had a soul winning class. It was optional. It was my privilege over 20 years to train literally thousands of young people. And I said to them on the first day, I will be asked this question. Do you ever get butterflies when you go knock on a door of somebody that you don't know? And my answer is no, I never got butterflies. It's called dive bombers. And I can remember gentlemen ringing the doorbell and praying that it was broken. I've gone through everything you can imagine. We're out of our element. Let's face it, you're going to meet somebody you may not even know. You're going to ask them about their destiny. You're going to deal with spiritual things, and it can be nerve-wracking. How do we get over that? Last night, as you guys remember, I talked about Acts 1:8, and the first way to be involved in what I call the biggest business in all the world, that of evangelism, is convictions, internalized, complete understanding of why we're doing this and how we're going to do it. The first conviction I have as a soul winner is I have authority in Christ to do this. If you look at the text, it says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's an obligation. This is the assignment that I have from God. I have to internalize that. See, there are many times that I can make excuses for not sharing my faith. I sit on an airplane. I was talking to the president of Northland, Dr. Olson, last night. I said, have you ever been so tired that when you got on a plane, you prayed that nobody would sit next to you? And he started laughing. Well, we're all human. So God put somebody next to you, and now you have to make a choice. I'm going to be selfish and sit in silence and read my magazine or take a nap. Or here is, I call it, I'm going to seize the moment to share the message. I may not have 15 minutes. I may not have 30 minutes, an hour. But I'm going by the grace of God because I am convicted. I'm under authority for this. But second, it's not only I have the authority for witnessing from Christ, but I have ability in Christ to witness. We've all heard, and maybe we have even said, I can't witness. That's not true. The word power here is the word ability. Now, this was pre-Pentecost. Pentecost was coming in a few days, and Jesus said, now you listen very carefully. When the Holy Spirit comes and He enters inside you, He is going to empower you. He's going to energize you. He's going to give you not only my authority, but the ability to give this gospel. I preached 550 times last year, and there's never a night that I go home that I don't kneel down and say, this is a miracle. If I were God, I would have never called me, because I would work far better behind the scenes than on the stage. But I didn't call me, and so I told the Lord, if this is going to get done, you're going to have to do it. Well, that's what God wants. The explosive power is not our own enthusiasm. It's not our own energy. It's our surrendered life so that He, the Holy Spirit, can use us as a channel to get His message out.
Now, I want to come back to that because I know you've got another point you want to make here. But
let me just hit this and keep running. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, they were threatened. They said, you're not going to witness. So they went back and had a prayer meeting. And as they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were all filled, controlled with the Holy Spirit, and spake the word of God with boldness. When we are unwilling to give the gospel, the Holy Spirit's not going to fill us because we're disobedient. But when we surrender and say, I can't, but you can, I'm preparing to do something that's completely out of my comfort zone. He moves in. He takes over. He takes his message through his messenger, the channel. And when you come away from that, sometimes you just come out with your mouth opening saying, I didn't even know what I was going to say exactly, but God put it in my life and my mouth. We have to understand we have authority in Christ for witnessing. We have ability in Christ for witnessing. And we have accountability to Christ for witnessing. I'm afraid too many folks do not understand the judgment seat of Christ. When we kneel before Him, we are going to explain why we did or did not have Great Commission living. When my dad went to work and he left me two or three things to do and he came home and I hadn't done it, it was bad news. But you know, on the other hand, John 12:26 says, if any man will honor me, him will my Father also honor. Let's take a simple scenario. I go, I share my faith, I love my neighbor, and I give the gospel, and he does not positively respond. Matter of fact, he gets a little insulted. This happened in my neighborhood in Kansas City where I've been living. I have the wonderful joy of going home knowing that I delivered the message. Now, if he never gets saved, he's not going to blame me because I did what God said, and one day God's going to honor me. Now, the fact of the matter is, we just moved out of Kansas City. I saw my neighbor just before I left. I put my arm around him. I said, I'm still praying for him. You know, he wasn't mad at me. He said, you've been a good neighbor. I said, listen, here's a gospel leaflet. I want to see you in heaven. And he took it graciously. He wasn't ticked. But, man, that's been a few years that we've been living side by side. We've got to understand, we don't do this just because it's going to get a great positive response. We do this because we have a God to meet, and this is His plan.
We have authority from God.
Exactly.
We have ability from God.
The Holy Spirit.
And we one day will have accountability.
We're going to meet Him.
So we have three Bible reasons, then, why we ought to be sharing the Great Commission.
Exactly.
Now, in the next broadcast, I want to come back to that middle one, ability. And I want to talk for a minute about, if I have this ability, why is it so hard for me? And how do we overcome that? I hope you're enjoying the series, Great Commission Living. And we would invite you to invite a friend to listen to the broadcasts on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.